Opening at the Civic Theater this Friday night is a play called The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime. If you've heard, if that strikes a bit of a chord in you, you may have heard about it. So we're going to find about the derivation. We're going to find out how it turned into a play and then really get inside this pretty amazing story from fairly recently. And the person who is wrapping her arms around the whole thing is Melody Deathridge as director. Good morning, Melody.
Good morning, Vern.
And it seems like I always ask about the same thing, but your origin story of getting involved in this play, did you know about the play and say, hey, I want to do it? Or did they come to you and say, hey, Melody, do we have a play for you?
I knew about the play and said, I want to do it. May I do it? When the season was announced last year, directors were invited to make submissions for plays they were interested in, and I submitted for this because the story spoke to my heart, and I'd read the book and knew of the play when it was first produced. So, that's,
well, then you were truly ready.
Yes.
Yeah, by having started at the source.
Well, ready in terms of the desire.
Well, isn't that 90%? And competence is the last 10 or something.
Yeah.
So let's talk about pretending you weren't even directing it, this is our little book group. What about this book when it came out? About what, 15 years ago or something like that? And what struck you about it?
The novel was originally published in 2003, written by Mark Haddon, a British novelist. Mm-hmm. And he was known primarily up to that time for writing children's books. And this book was his first real foray into adult literature, although it's about a young man, 15-year-old. Young man, and it was a bestseller in the United Kingdom and certainly in the United States, and then adapted on the British stage in 2012 when it was first produced, and 2013 won the Olivier Award, then transferred to New York in 2014.
So. And now this is a first around here, I gather, for it to be happening around here.
Yes, it is the regional premiere of this play here in our area.
And again, this play is The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime, and hopefully some of that will be made clear. And so, as you say, it's a novel, and it centers around one character whom we're going to meet really soon, but say what you want at this point about who Christopher is.
Christopher is a young man who, the original novelist, Mark Haddon, was very specific in not giving Christopher a diagnosis, although we can infer, conclude, assume he's on the autism spectrum from his behaviors. Mm. And it's really about his journey through navigating the world, filtering communications. And there's an incident of the dog in the nighttime that's presented at the top of the play. Christopher takes it upon himself to solve the mystery. He loves Sherlock Holmes, and that's where the title of the book and the play comes from, is a Sherlock Holmes story called.
Oh, okay. That's also why, because it had the curious incident words in it. It didn't in the original Sherlock Holmes story. Well, the beauty of what we have available, we have the two gentlemen here who play Ed the father and Christopher the son. Christopher played by Nick Greep, and Ed played by Jeremy Uren. And I think it's going to be pretty obvious a lot just from this scene we're going to hear. So let's go to these two actors that sets up a lot of what's going on.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I didn't kill Wellington.
I know. Christopher, you have to stay out of trouble, okay?
I didn't know I was going to get in trouble. I like Wellington, and I went to say hello to him, but I didn't know that someone had killed him.
Just try and keep your nose out of other people's business.
I'm going to try and find out who killed Wellington.
Were you listening to what I was saying, Christopher?
Yes, I was listening to what you were saying, but when someone gets murdered, you have to find out who did it so that they can be punished.
It's a bloody dog. Christopher, a bloody dog.
I think dogs are important too. I think some dogs are cleverer than some people. Nicholas, for example, who comes to school on Thursdays. He needs help eating his food, and he probably couldn't even fetch a stick.
Leave it.
I wonder if the police will find out who killed him and punish the person.
I said, leave it, for God's sake.
Are you sad about Wellington?
Yes, Christopher, you could say that. You could very well say that.
And there we have it. Seeing obviously this would be early in the play, I presume, because it sets up so much of the premise of the play and the premise of these two characters, both of which are interesting. Wellington, in case somebody was only half listening, is the dog in question that got killed, and Christopher has been accused of that, and so the father and the son are dealing with this. And so let's bring in the dad first, because I can relate to that, because I've been slightly in your position in my own life. And so talk about what first. Hello, Jeremy.
Hello.
Good morning. and so talk about Ed the dad and who he is and how he is dealing with this unique and interesting kid that he has.
Absolutely. So Ed is such a beautiful character in that he's a single dad who's trying to navigate not only his own world, but trying to help his son navigate what is a very different experience of the world. And so it's a matter of being patient and figuring out how to help his son succeed in a world that's not set up for him to succeed.
Yeah, and there was so much authenticity in it, just in how the obvious obsession of the son, and we know that from the general autism issue, and how you have to kind of patiently work through that. And then talk just a little bit more also about the situation you're in of Christopher having been accused of killing this dog.
Absolutely. Yeah, the show starts off with Wellington being discovered with a garden fork through him, and Christopher takes it on himself to discover what happened. So mm-hmm. he becomes obsessive about this detection. Mm-hmm. And the father, Ed, is really worried about that, him going around asking questions to strangers and putting himself out there. So it becomes, how do you help your son, discover his passions, but also keep him safe? Mm-hmm. So, and God, it's so beautiful because he wants to help him, but he doesn't want to see him get hurt. And that's what he's worried about.
Well, and then you've implied this already, but then sticking to his uniqueness and yet living in the world, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. which I assume is a big part of this too, since that's always a big part of that issue.
That's always the balance.
With people with any form of whatever we're calling autism or anything else. So we bring in Christopher Nick Greep, hello, who's out playing it.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank
and
you.
What did you know about this before you auditioned for this role?
I knew very little when I heard about the Curious Incident. I read, just the synopsis and wanted to know what it was about, and I instantly fell in love with the story. I thought it was a genius play. I loved the story just from a four-sentence mm-hmm. little description. And then when I was told to audition, just to come out and, just audition, I went out and instantly reading from the auditions, I fell in love with Christopher. And I think that's so important, especially if you're going to play a character, to find connections between you and the character. And so
the essential. So keep talking about that. Keep talking about how you have melded with Christopher over the last few months of your life.
Yeah, it was tough at first. I struggled a lot. And luckily, Melody, our director, helped me a lot. Because I struggled the very first months, actually. Yeah, I was juggling. There were so many things I had no idea about. And then once I started, researching, I started really reading the script through Christopher's eyes. I started to take little bits and pieces of Christopher that would soon become, me, Christopher, and I started mashing them together and seeing what would come about. And through the process, me and Mel would stay after and before rehearsals and, figure out just like characteristics, how he would walk, what he's thinking about. And through those moments where I truly mended Christopher.
And let's bring Melody back into this, because and you very much stay in this conversation, because is there a certain thing you had to learn of learning the craft of becoming Christopher so that you wouldn't become obsessed with trying to become the person of Christopher?
Absolutely. She was very, very gracious in saying, giving me very specific details of what a person on the spectrum would be thinking or what would be doing at certain points. And so, like, very little eye contact, you know, always careful about his surroundings, you know, those moments that truly make Christopher the person he is. And I think that's very important going forward, because that is how you connect with him, is seeing him truly and not seeing him trying to be played by this 18-year-old guy. So I think that is what's most important.
Yeah, and then let's bring you, Melody, back into this interesting process of melding what we've talked about and more.
Well, Nick, if you know Nick, as Nick, he's very different from Christopher, because Nick is quite animated and energetic and exuberant in his natural personality. And his countenance is naturally smiley. He's just a ray of sunshine. And Christopher, his physicality, his facial expressions are very different. But Nick has wonderful instincts as an actor, and he has such magnificent physical abilities. So we were able to really mold and craft. And he accepted direction and suggestions and guidance. And it's just been a pleasure, a pure pleasure working with him.
So that's the kind of behind the curtain, an offstage sense of this. Now moving back into the essence of the play, and we've gotten into this a little bit. I think we have another short scene that might get us a little deeper into who Christopher is. If you care to go into that one,
Christopher, I have to go out.
Why?
I've just had a phone call. There's a lady. Her cellar has flooded, and I've got to go out and fix it.
Is it an emergency?
Yes, mate.
It is raining very heavily.
It is.
The rain looks like white sparks.
Christopher, if I go out, will you be okay?
Yes, I will, because there's nobody about, because everybody's staying indoors.
Good, 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 good. Good lad.
I like looking at the rain.
Terrific.
It makes me think how all the water in the world is connected.
Does it?
This rain, this water, actually evaporated from somewhere like the Gulf of Mexico, maybe, or Baffin Bay, and now it's falling in front of the house.
I'll have my mobile with me.
Yes.
So you can call me if there's a problem.
Yes.
Behave yourself, Christopher. Yeah?
Yeah.
So a little bit more from this play, The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime, which opens this Friday, and it runs at Spokane Civic Theater on the main stage and runs through 4 weekends. So already now we get a little deeper into the situation of the two of you inhabiting your two very different worlds. I presume, Ed, I'll call you by your stage name, you're a plumber or a tradesman in some form. You work in the utter simple reality of life, while Christopher has his own constructed reality. So my question for all three of you, how much does that then influence where the whole play is going to go? And we have to say there's a lot we can't say, because there's some great surprises to have happen.
Well, and that leads to the structure of the play. The adaptation, it's not a linear, plot-driven kind of play in terms of how it's structured. It's very theatrical. We break the fourth wall. We shift time and space on a dime in an instant. So but the world of the play is rather inside Christopher's brain. It's what is it like to be inside his brain and view it with glimpses from that the real perspective of his father and the people around him.
Yeah. And now back to this relationship, and of course the relationship's probably, well, first, how many people are in the play?
There are 10 people.
10 people.
It's very much in an ensemble.
But we right now, of course, are thinking about the relationship between the father and the son. Is there tension as it goes along, or are you the steadying hand that kind of provides it in, or what's your deeper theatrical role in this play?
I think Ed's intention is always to be steady Ed, but there's a lot of tension because, as Melody mentioned, Christopher lives in an abstract world. What he focuses on is the rain and his space, and sometimes his magical reality doesn't line up with the reality of every day. So Ed is struggling to combine those two worlds. and to help him survive on his day-to-day. So I would say definitely there's tension between the two of them, especially as Christopher goes off on his adventure despite the guidance of his father. So he definitely does not heed his father's advice.
Yeah, but so Christopher, even though you're not, because of the strength of your world, you're not heeding your father's advice, do you love and trust your father?
That is a good question. I think some of that question will be answered when you come and see the curious incident of the dog in the nighttime. But what I can say is that Christopher doesn't show a lot of emotion. While in his brain, he knows exactly what he's thinking. While he knows of love, but he doesn't know how to project love. He only shows very, very few instances of connection, and it's very through slight physical touching. And I think Christopher does love and trust his father, but as the play goes on, Christopher also is so deep in what he wants to do and figuring out this story, figuring out who killed Wellington. And so I think that comes into play when trusting people, when trusting
And there things. Are specific incidents in the play where there's conflict and serious drama between the characters.
I don't know what to say and what not to say.
I know. It's really tricky about how to do this. Then kind of, you mentioned an ensemble cast and 10 characters. Are the other characters townspeople? Are they people who are or aren't trusting Christopher? Or what's kind of some of the vibe of some of the other characters?
We call it the ensemble of 6 actors who do assume all these various roles, his neighbors, people, the shopkeepers, passengers on a train, people he encounters in the big city. So that's played by an ensemble of 6 actors, all from Spokane. And great, we've seen many of them on stage, and they might work in educational theater. Then there are two other principal roles, one of which is Christopher's teacher, and she appears throughout with him and is sort of his conscience and his spiritual guide through the play. Mm-hmm. And then his mother is played by Abby Crawford, who is sort of a memory of Christopher's. So that's all I really want to say about that.
That's enough. And then the author of the book, do you happen to know, did he live with this? Did he have an autistic son?
One of his early jobs when he was younger was assisting kids in a school, kind of in a group home setting, the children with disabilities, some of which were on the spectrum. Mm-hmm. So certainly influenced by his experience with those kids. But he was intentional in not saying Christopher has autism, because you meet one person with autism, you've met one person with autism. Being a spectrum disorder, as some people call it, there's a wide range of ability and function. So he didn't want to label Christopher as, but a lot of people just assume that and label Christopher in a lot of the reference material.
Let's see if I can get to this. Is this issue, the autism spectrum, really the essential part of the play, or is that just a means to get to another part of the human condition?
From my perspective, it's a means to get to the other part of the human condition. It's not a play about autism. It's about a young man who probably has autism and how that affects his ability to move about in the world.
And I presume others' ability to relate to him.
Exactly. Yeah. It's about accepting others where they're at.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This play, The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime, and the role of Christopher, played by Nick Greep. What a pleasure to have you in.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Nick. And his dad, Ed, played by Jeremy Uren.
Thanks so much for being in.
And of course, Melody Deathridge for ongoing commitment to theater in this town. And and doing this.
Thank you so much, Vern.
So that's that. It opens this Friday night, the usual Friday, Saturday, 7:30, Sunday at 2, and then it's a Thursday through Sunday sequence for the following 3 weekends at Spokane Civic Theater on the main stage.